starts now. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for that song we just heard. Thank you for the message that's in there. We ask you to fling wide those heavenly gates, Lord. Enter in with us today. Minister. Lord, you got me emotional for some reason. Lord, let us look at that, those three words. It starts now. It starts now. Let us talk about that as we begin this new year. We want to be in your will, Lord Jesus. I think I say that for everyone here. We want to be in your will. I ask you to bless these folks today. And Lord, let us not be the same when we leave this place. Some of us need tenderizing. Some of us need encouragement. Let your Holy Spirit minister in this place. Give you all the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to start with a few pieces of humor here. Humor always helps us, doesn't it? This is New Year's humor. New Year's humor. New Year's humor. An optimist stays up until midnight to welcome in the new year. A pessimist stays up and makes sure the old year leaves. I love when they drop the ball in Times Square. It's a nice reminder of what I did all year. Youth is when you're allowed to stay up late on New Year's Eve. Middle age is when you're forced to. I see no need to make more New Year's resolution when the old ones already on the books aren't being enforced. I like this one because this may be mine. My New Year's resolution is to take all the Christmas lights down by Easter. Here's the top 10 New Year's resolutions. Number one, spend more time with family. Number two, more exercise. Number three, lose weight. Number four, give up smoking again. Number five, get out of debt. Number six, learn a new skill or take up a new hobby. Number seven, put something into my community or to help others. Number eight, get organized or at least invest in companies that make daily planners. Number nine, become more security conscious. Number 10, give up vices, at least for the first week of January. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Chapter 6 and verse number 2. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, for he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Amen? Amen. Let's read it again, just so it sinks in. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Naturally, the entrance of a new year is often the time that countless people actually make New Year's resolutions. They set personal goals, relationship goals, financial goals, physical goals, spiritual goals. And during this time, they can make life-changing decisions. Not everyone actually accomplishes their resolutions, no matter how important they are. According to Forbes magazine, only 8% of people achieve their financial goals. U.S. News reports that 80% of people fail when it comes to New Year's resolutions having to do with their health. A New Year's resolution is to do or not do something in order to obtain a personal goal or break an undesirable habit. It comes at a time when folks tend to look backwards, look at the past year, and determine to make a concerted effort to improve themselves in the coming year. Adults often make New Year's resolutions to lose weight and to exercise more. If you would ask Wikipedia, your online resource or encyclopedia, how did the New Year resolutions begin? The response to that question is religious origins. Religious origins. Babylonians made promises to their gods at the start of each year that they would return borrowed objects and pay all debts. The Romans began each year by making promises to the god Janus, for whom the month of January is named. What do you think about people returning what they borrow and paying off debts? Sounds great to me. Amen. But I must admit that I never considered why we make New Year's resolutions or how the first month of the year got its name. However, I'm very supportive of people wanting to change. In fact, I'm almost positive that change is what interests God the most. Amen? That's why he was born in Bethlehem. It's why he lived and preached in this world for 33 and a half years. It's why he discipled 12 men to continue his message. It's why he allowed himself to be crucified on the cross. It's why he was resurrected on the third day. And it's why he offers forgiveness of sin through repentance. And it's why he promises the infilling of the Holy Spirit. God is in the business of helping people change. Change their lives. God is in the business of helping people change their lives. Earlier, I mentioned that only 8% of people are capable of achieving their financial resolutions and 20% their health goals. God knows full well that we are unable to live in this world relationally and spiritually the way we desire to live, and especially the way he would command us to live. But understand, if we're going to have real, positive, significant, and lasting change in our life, especially spiritual change, it's going to take more than personal willpower. We must have supernatural help from God. Amen. Amen. So how does significant change get started? Better yet, when does it all begin? Let's answer that question this morning. For a lot of people, the only time they seriously consider change in their life is when they make a New Year's resolution. Now, honestly, all of us make small incremental changes in our lives every day. To some degree or another, we live lives that resemble a ship on a sea being pushed one way or another by situations and circumstances. And our responses to these things result in gradual changes that give us direction in which we move. The kind of change is sometimes reactionary. It's often involuntary, and it generally leads us where we really didn't intend to go, hence the need for things like New Year's resolutions. But brothers and sisters, this is the reason we so desperately need God's help. This is why we need God's help, amen? Because each and every one of us, by nature is instinctively drawn to the things in this world that will destroy us spiritually and separate us from God and His divine will for our lives. If we really and genuinely want to have the kind of change in our life that's going to make a difference, then may I suggest that maybe, just maybe, we need more than a New Year's resolution. There's something essential that we need that will prevent us from being destroyed physically, relationally, and most important, spiritually. And it will aid us in living above the guilt and shame of sin. I wonder if there could be a change in someone's life today, right here, in this building. Not because it's New Year's, but because they simply have decided it starts now. It starts now. I'm ready. I've had enough. It's time for a change, a real change. As a church, we try to practice this every week. We'll be back here next week doing the same thing. Week after that, offering everyone the chance to change their lives and make things right with God. Yes. It's not a New Year's thing. It's a starts now thing. They asked Peter 2,000 years ago on the day of Pentecost, what should we do? What should we do? What change needs to happen? How do we fix our lives? And Peter responded with the same thing I'm going to repeat today. Repent, be baptized, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repent, be baptized, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Then Peter said in Acts chapter 2, verse 39, he said, for the promises to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord will call. This is for everyone, folks. It's for everyone. And may I remind you, you are not capable of fixing your spiritual condition yourself. You need God's forgiveness. That's why you must repent and be forgiven. Then you should receive the gift of the Holy Spirit to defend yourself against the spiritual onslaught, those attacks of the devil that keep you from living for God. But it's not profitable if you just make decisions for God in January. It's necessary that you do this in February too, and in March, and in April. Joshua declared in chapter 24, the last half of verse 15, he said, but as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. And he's talking about all the time. All the time we're going to serve the Lord. Amen? Then Paul tells us in Hebrews 12, verse 1, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. When do we lay aside the obstacles? When do we lay down the sin? When do we run the race? Every day. Every day. It's not just a New Year's resolution. It's not just a Sunday morning thing. It's a constant walk with God, not a visit to the spiritual emergency room. Amen. It's a constant walk with God. We don't come running into church only when our lives are falling apart. We don't just pray when there's no alternative. We don't just worship Him because it's 10 a.m. on Sunday. We're walking with God on Sunday, on Monday, on Tuesday. We should be at church when the doors are open. We should pray all the time, amen? Not only when we're facing some horrible situation. If you're thinking, I need some change in my life, well, folks, it starts now. It starts now. If you honestly believe my family really needs some help, well, it starts now. Starts now. If you admit my spouse is battling an emotional problem, well, it starts now. You could declare I have an incurable disease. Well, it starts now. Yes, folks, we can hope for a fresh New Year's, but it's not about that. It's about the fact that Jesus loves you. Jesus wants you to live above sin. And Jesus has a plan for you to succeed in this world, which, by the way, includes your money, your job, your health, your relationships, because all of these things affect your spiritual condition. But we can't hope to fix all this stuff by ourselves. We need God. We need God. We need His help. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, it says this, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me." God can perform the miraculous in your life, but He's waiting on you to invite Him in and allow Him to work with you and for you. Amen. But so many of us tend to procrastinate. We can put off insignificant things as well as essential things. All of us do it. And sadly, too many people put off this decision of inviting Jesus into their life until it's too late. Again, Revelation 3:20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me." I hope you heard that. Open the door. Open the door. Jesus is saying it starts now. Open the door. Open the door of your heart. Open the door of your mind. Open the door of your faith. Open up and let God in. Starts the moment you open that door. Starts the second you say yes to Jesus, giving your heart and life to Him. Maybe you like to play the tough guy. Nope, I can do it myself. Nope, I don't need anybody's help. Nope, I'm fine. I got news for you. At some point in your life, you're going to need what only God can do.
That's right.
And you may need Him in a really big way.
That's right.
Folks, you can get that help. And all that is required is you accept His gift of grace. And it can start right now. You don't have to make a resolution, and you don't have to hire a coach. you can bow your head right now. Ask His forgiveness and for His help. Because it starts right now. It starts right now. How many people face problems day in and day out? How many people go through life burdened? How many people suffer needlessly? How many people are a wreck all the time? And what we need is to open the door for Jesus. Amen. And let Him come in and dine with us. It's not rocket science. It's not even high school biology. It's simple, because we're simple people. Jesus said, if we have faith as a child, I love that. You don't see them little kids worrying about anything. I love that. Faith of a child. I want to do something this morning, and I think that's why I'm emotional. I want to start this year off right, and I want to pray for whoever let me pray for them, and I'm hoping they'll have a word from the Lord as I do that. So that's the way I want to end the service. If you have to leave, you can go ahead and leave. But those that would like a prayer, I want you to stick around and let me pray for you. Amen. God's good and all the time, folks. Amen. Amen. I always...